KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media, communications, and journalism students at Fresno State. 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning. I'm Lauren Knott. Thank you for tuning into Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
And I'm Carissa Guzman. Today on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we will be highlighting Fresno State Focus TV, produced by broadcast journalism and multi-production students at Fresno State.
As the semester draws to a close, finals are right around the corner. We've got you covered. We will be sharing a survival guide with you to help you conquer finals week.
We will also discuss the summer internship program and all the benefits that come with it.
Later on, our reporters will be speaking with a pastor and missionary from People's Church in Fresno as they prepare to leave on a mission trip this summer.
Julie Logan will join us to talk about Fresno State's internet radio station, FSR Underground.
And lastly, we will be answering the girlies' most asked questions about the men, so be sure to stick around. But before that, Carissa will talk with Ricky Oakes on all things Fresno State Focus.
If you're a broadcast major, or know a Fresno State student that is, you might have heard about Fresno State Focus. It is a student-run newscast that airs every Wednesday live on the show's YouTube at 4 p.m. They cover all things that are Fresno State and the Central Valley. The show consists of two classes, crew and editorial. Crew is the backbone of the newscast, keeping the newscast afloat, while editorial is the reporters you will see on camera either at the anchor desk, green screen for weather, monitor for stories, or even at an area around campus for a live shot. I got to talk to Ricky Oakes, a senior in mass communication and broadcast journalism. He has taken both classes throughout the four semesters he has been at Fresno State. For the first two, he took crew.
I was doing all the behind-the-scenes stuff, so learning how to be both a floor and main director. Also learned like technical director, audio, camera, all that.
For the last two, he took editorial.
So being an anchor, weatherman was really fun, by the way. I would suggest trying it out. Also being just like a reporter, producing VOSATs, packages.
As I was in the crew class during his last semester being an editorial, I got to hear how Ricky would introduce himself on camera. So me just hearing, like, what's poppin'? And I'm almost all like, don't mind me just watching.
What's poppin' was just a joke thing that we came about with, but then that ended up being like my tag.
Him and another fellow MCJer, Alexis Breen, even got to anchor a special Fresno State Focus, where they wore pink to celebrate the movie Barbie being released that week. They even said, hi Barbie, hi Ken, to each other.
When we came up with that original idea, it was just something off whim, but oh my gosh, that was probably one of the most funs I had on a show. Probably one of the best ad-lib segments I think we've ever had on Focus.
When asked what his most and least favorite part about being in Focus was, he started with the worst being time management and having editorial being an almost 6-hour class. He said the best was
the amount of experience you get, the amount that you put into your digital reel to put out for a job, it's monumental. And it gives us a step up above anyone else that's going out into the field.
He gives advice to those who has limited material that's considered on camera.
Even if you haven't had any experience on anchors, if you produce fantastic VOs, phenomenal packages, still put that in your reel because that's what people are looking for right now.
Ricky says that he has done a lot better now compared to when he first started. He thanks one of the professors, Kim Stevens, who got him out of the habit of being a fast talker while on camera.
I tend to slow down a lot, which means I get to emphasize my words a lot. And that makes such a difference, being able to just change your voice tone.
When asked what he'll do after he'll graduate,
hopefully something in either sports radio or sports reporting. If I put my resume out into a couple places and I'm just waiting responses, what I hope to do is a lot of sports play-by-play.
Ricky says that Focus has helped him out a lot in preparing for those jobs.
I've been through both aspects over the past 2 years, and I feel like I am more prepared than any other thing could ever prepare me for that.
Ricky mentions how reconstructing the last newscast of last semester made him realize something about who takes the class, as the power went out in the speech arts building, leading to some of the crew and editorial relocating in the Linda and Stuart Resnick Student Union a few hours before the show was to air.
We can prepare for anything that happens, and we know we can handle our stuff.
When asked for anything to add, Ricky wanted to give a shout out to someone who's also in the class.
By the way, shout out to my boy, Mr. Al Scott, the number one Padres fan and also number one Giants hater. Appreciate him for that.
You can check out Fresno State Focus on Instagram and X at FS Focus TV and on YouTube on Fresno State Focus TV for more content. If sports is more your thing, you can check out Fresno State Focus on Sports, in which you can see more of Ricky Oakes broadcast live on their YouTube on Mondays at 4 p.m. At Fresno State, Carissa Guzman.
In lieu of finals and the end of semester approaching, the Girls Club has put together a final survival guide for the girlies and guys here at Fresno State.
Yes, our favorite season is back. I'm so excited to be here and share some of my favorite tips that helped me during finals.
Okay, Leslie, is there a class you were struggling with this semester?
Media law is kicking my butt.
I'm taking that class too. I'm hoping to do well on an upcoming exam. How did you do?
I stood on business and got an 82, so I'm real happy about that.
I feel significantly more prepared than I did for our first exam, so we'll see how it goes.
We're gonna thrive, girly.
Studying and preparation has definitely made all the difference. The first thing that comes to mind is be well rested. Regulate your sleep schedule.
Easier said than done.
Ashwagandha supports healthy sleep and lower cortisol levels. You can get your hands on some at Target or on Amazon.
A group of friends and I booked a study room in the library to fit in one last cram session before our midterm. We plan to do the same for our finals. And after all the laughing and TikTok scrolls, we got some really good studying done.
Comparing notes and revisiting confusing topics definitely helped. We reviewed lecture notes. Be sure to utilize all tools that may be allowed by your professor, such as note cards and textbooks. Yoga and Pilates classes are also offered on campus. Yoga and Pilates are both known to reduce stress levels.
Or, if that's not up your alley, you can always get out and get some air. Maybe do a picnic at a park and study either alone or with some friends. So our next tips should be, no surprise, caffeine. I'm a caffeine girly to my core, so there are a few things I like to sip on. Unfortunately, Red Bull and Alani is not exactly healthy, but they are my favorites.
Did you not see the whole rat that they found in the Alani can? TikTok is calling it Ratgate.
I saw it. Cut the cameras. Next question, please.
As finals approach, try your best to be in class. Important information is often shared during class time.
Utilize Canvas Messenger and email your teacher to clarify any questions you may have, and even try to attend office hours if you're, like, extra confused.
For those of you without exams but rather group projects, keep open communication with your teammates and be upfront about what's needed to complete the assignment.
Be sure to let your professor know if someone isn't picking up their slack and dumping the work on the rest of the members. If you're that person, please just be mindful and self-aware.
We hope our tips help you all. Best of luck to everyone.
I'm gonna be like Oprah and say A's for everyone.
Listen up to who wants to get into a special online internship program this summer. I talked with Dina Ibrahim, who is the executive director of the Cal State Executive Alliance. She has been involved in the EA, Entertainment Alliance, summer internship program since it started in 2015.
So for $200, you get 3 units of credit that is offered through San Francisco State's College of Extended Learning and is fully transferable to any CSU or any four-year university.
She says it's a way for students to have an easy and safer way to secure their internships during the summer.
Because it's through extended education, you don't have to jump through hoops to get into the class. You're going to get into the class. And we have a high enrollment threshold, so you're going to be able to enroll.
What students need to know before signing up is that they would already have to be enrolled in an internship that's associated with the Entertainment Alliance, as well as getting permission to sign up through their employer. Once it's secured, it's like any other internship with filling out an activity log, midterm and final reports, and student and employer evaluations. Dina says it's a pass or fail course.
So there really is no grading involved. As long as you did the internship and the employer can vouch for that, you're going to get credit for it.
Even though the program is focused on College of Arts and Humanities students, even those who are science majors can sign up for it.
We don't care what your major is, but we do require that your internship is somehow related to the greater entertainment industry.
She divides the industry into 3 areas: the creatives, film art majors, the technical side, engineering and science majors, and business majors.
What I do care about is that your internship qualifies within the very broad umbrella of the entertainment industry, which is pretty huge.
When asked if there was anything to add, Dina says there is a specific requirement in order to finish the internship and get credit.
We require that students prove that they did a minimum of 100 hours of work. So it's roughly 8 to 10 hours a week.
After we were done with the initial interview, Ibrahim says that even recent graduates are able to sign up for the program. The program is $200 to sign up. The deadline to sign up is early June. For more information, you can find them on social media at CSUEA. At Fresno State, Carissa Guzman.
Finding the summer internship program that's right for you can be tough, but thank you, Carissa, for sharing that information. I'm sure many people appreciate it. Summer internship programs aren't the only thing people are looking forward to. Young adults from People's Church will get to be a part of a mission trip centered around community service. Here are Victoria and Leslie with more.
Yes, Lauren, thank you. Approximately 15 young adults from People's Church will be going on a missions trip to Nicaragua this summer. To support them, People's Church will be hosting various events to help fundraise money. To get more information, Leslie and I are here with Pastor Dawson to share more.
Hi, Pastor Dawson. Can you share a little more about the missions trip?
Thank you. Yeah, the missions trip's an awesome opportunity for us to go and share God's love with other people. People we'll never encounter again, but people that we love nonetheless. And so we're going to go and serve and give up our time, give up our resources to serve people that need to know the love of Jesus.
That is really inspiring. And as one of the missionaries, I am super excited to go on this trip to serve and love on the unreached. What are some of the events we have coming up that are in support of the team going to Nicaragua?
Oh man, what don't we have going on? I mean, we have bake sales, we have car washes, we have yard sales, silent auctions, anything you can imagine. We're doing everything we can to make sure everyone gets to go on this trip.
Thank you for sharing that. Besides the various events, what are other ways that community members can support the trip?
I mean, outside of any financial gifts, which we are more than willing to accept, also just prayer. Prayer is a huge thing. A lot of these people, that's their first time ever going. And so just prayer for courage, prayer for boldness, and, you know, prayer for safety and protection, as well as, you know, we want whatever seeds we plant to have a lasting impact. So be praying for our team as we go.
Pastor Dawson, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today and share some insight about the missions trip. Back to you, Carissa.
I'm here with Julie Logan, General Manager of Fresno State Radio. Thanks for talking with us about FSR Underground. Now, what is FSR Underground?
Hey, Carissa, it's good to talk with you. FSR Underground is Fresno State's internet radio station, and you can find it online at fsrunderground.org.
What music format is FSR Underground?
FSR Underground's main format is alternative rock, but it also plays specialty music shows on the weekends.
What type of specialty shows does the station air?
FSR Underground has a contemporary Christian show on Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, an alternative rock blend show Saturday nights, and we are about to debut the Creme de la Creme program on Saturday nights also.
How are students involved in the station?
Fresno State students are involved with FSR Underground in a lot of ways, including both on and off the air.
What opportunities are available for Fresno State students?
Again, there are a lot of ways to become involved, but Fresno State students can get class credit by being involved with FSR Underground internships, service learning courses, independent study, and there's other course curriculum integration. But students can also just volunteer. One of the things I love about FSR Underground is that it is a platform that's available to all Fresno State students. The station has opportunities in programming content and talent development, music programming, industry relations, marketing and PR, event management, advertising and sales, audio video production, web content and development, information technology, business administration, broadcast engineering, and more. We get students from all over campus.
Does the station employ students?
No, the station doesn't have any paid student positions, but the experience you get working for a college radio station is a major bonus on a resume.
Thanks for letting us know more about Fresno State's FSR Underground.
Thank you, Carissa.
The segment hosted by Victoria and Leslie titled The Woman's Perspective was a big hit. We received hundreds of inquiries on social media from men who wanted an insider opinion. This week, we flipped the script.
The Girls Club took to social media and asked women what they want to know about men. If you have ever been left confused or blindsided by a man in your life, wishing you could understand the other point of view, this is the segment for you. Today we invite Cody Peterson to the Girls Club to be our man on the inside.
What's up, brother?
Instagram was once again popping, and through our combined polls, we received over 100 responses. Let's clear the air with a man's perspective. Here's Cody Peterson and Lauren with their thoughts and opinions on the 5 most asked questions.
Welcome to the Girls Club, Cody.
Well, thanks for having me.
Our first question today is, why are men so hard to read? Most women would agree it's hard to tell if you guys are actually into us or just stringing us along.
You are ripping off the Band-Aid today. Real quick, what I would say is that I think that men think the same exact way. By and large, I feel like most men would agree that sometimes it's difficult to tell if a woman is reciprocating the same energy, if they're vibing in the same way that you are. So it's kind of like a paradox that we're living in, where we're both like, we have this misconception that we're just misreading the hypothetical partner in the same sort of breath on both sides of the aisle. So I don't know. I think that men can be a little bit hard to read, but I think in the same breath, women are difficult to read as well.
So as a man, you don't even know. Great. What can women look for as a reassuring sign that he's interested?
Well, I think it's a little bit more simple than that, to be honest. If you want to know something, ask. And I think it can go both ways. If me as a man, listen, let's preface this. I am chronically single, okay? I'm focused on other things than romance. But when the time does come for me to start looking actively for a partner, I think what's important is the ability to just have that conversation. And if I'm interested, I have no problem telling the other person that I'm interested. And if that leads to rejection, then like, bummer. But also, I think it should be the same thing the other way.
Do you think that the statement, if he wanted to, he would, is true?
I think it's a little bit more complex than that. People are going through a million different things, and you really can never pin down one thing that might be leading a man to kind of maybe take his time or be wary of the situation. But in a general sense, yeah, if he wants to, he will.
Okay, the girls would like to know who should pay on the first date.
Okay, so I think this is an interesting question because I think that personally, I wouldn't go on a first date if I couldn't pay for it. So I think that on every first date that I've ever been on, I've paid for. But I don't know if I'm willing to say that men should pay for the first date. I think whoever pays for the first date should be the person who asked the person out. Like, if I asked her out on a date, then I should pay for the date. If she asked me out on a date and I showed up and didn't pick up the check, then like, hey, you asked me out on the date. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your responsibility. You asked for this.
Personally, I'm not calling that guy back. If I can make the first move, he can pick up the check. You go on the date with enough money to cover your half, but I don't think I've ever paid on a first date or any date in my relationship.
Well, I would say that you are a very lucky girl, and I think you should be grateful that you're in a position where your partner is capable and willing to pay for everything, but I don't think that any man should be made to feel less because they want to split checks or they can't handle paying for an entire date every time.
Hot take, men should plan dates within their means. If a couple is in a similar financial situation, honest conversations should be had before the date. Don't adjust your standards if this is something that's important to you.
Also, hot take, one, men shouldn't be the only ones to plan dates. And two,
Cody?
Two, take a breath. Two, financial situations change over time. So if you start dating someone, your hope is that 10 years down the road, you're not just going to be going out to pizza and a movie every Saturday night.
Moving on, our next question is, can guys and girls really be just friends? And what makes the difference?
What do you mean by what makes the difference?
Like, what separates their friendship from them being in a relationship? Why would you not pursue someone that you could have such a positive relationship with?
So I grew up with two older sisters. Now, I'd say that throughout my childhood, my closest friends were all boys, right? And they were my boys, and they still are today. But from a relatively early age, I learned how to be friends with my older sisters. And I think that that has served me in my adult life in making genuine connections platonically with women. And I do think that society has kind of made it so that that shouldn't be an option, or like it's a little bit
sexualized.
It's sexualized, and it's like taboo. And I think that that's wrong. I think that if a man has a genuine connection with a woman that is platonic, then there shouldn't be a need for a desire for something romantic, because I think that kind of goes against what friendship is all about.
Do you not expect any level of friendship in your romantic relationships then?
I think that's a really good point, because hopefully my future partner, the one that I spend the rest of my life with, is my best friend. I think that that should be your number one priority in finding your life partner, actually.
So would that replace your need for your other female friends?
I think that when it happens, that'll be a situation that needs to be confronted then. It's hard for me to say that now I would feel that way or the other. But okay. I do believe that I have genuine friendships with women that I wouldn't want to sacrifice for the sake of my partnership. And if my partner doesn't trust me enough to allow me to continue those friendships, then I would say it's probably not the right situation for me anyway.
Okay, so would you be comfortable dating a girl who had really close male friends?
Yes, but I do think that at the beginning of the relationship, I would be like wary, you know? I think that's natural, because I think in the early stages of a relationship, you're still learning about your partner and you're trying to figure each other out in a way. But through time, I'm never going to ask my partner to stop being friends with someone just because they're male, you know? And if I'm uncomfortable, I'll voice that. I think that conversation's important. But at the same point down the road, hopefully our relationship grows to the point where I don't have to feel insecure at all, because I think it's not necessary in the first place.
Obviously, trusting your partner would play like a big role into that. What kind of boundaries would you think would be important to accommodate their dynamic?
And you're talking about my partner's friendship with other males?
Yeah.
When I say boundaries is a weird word. I think that if we're going to set boundaries, they need to just be like, be honest with me about what you're doing. Like, if you're going to go have a beer with the guys, then like, cool, let me know where you're at, when you'll be home, this, that, and the other. And that should be it. And hopefully through time, there's the trust that's built and it's something that you don't even have to think twice about.
I know a lot of women who would say they always go with their gut and they can tell when another woman wants to be with their man. And if they're friends, would you agree that men can feel the same way?
Yeah, I think it's dangerous to assume that men want something more from your partner, right? But at the same point, I think that I can catch a vibe, right? If we're hanging out in the same space and we see something, then I'll notice and I'll say that. But again, it has to be a situation that's based on my trust for my partner.
All right, next, the girls would like to know why some men are reluctant to share their location.
There's a aspect of privacy that's important, I think, to every individual. And just because maybe women aren't reluctant to share their location at the same level, I think that it's important to respect your partner's privacy. And for me, I want you to be my best friend and my partner, but you're not my babysitter, you know? So I'm living a life too. And again, it goes back to the trust. If we trust each other enough, then you shouldn't need to know where I'm at all times of the day.
Okay. Well, my boyfriend and I share locations through Life 360, and we have for the majority of our relationship. We don't live in the same city and have pretty busy schedules and spend a lot of time commuting. It's convenient and a safety precaution. And as a woman, I like to know that someone I trust knows where I am or was last seen. And I think we imagine that men would feel the same way.
Yeah, and that's fair. I share my location with my parents and my siblings at all times, so they always know where I'm at if they need. And I think that if your relationship grows to the point where that's something that you're both willing to do and you both want to do for whatever reason, then that's okay too. So I wouldn't like belittle couples that share their location, but I think it's important that if I want to maintain my privacy, especially in the early stages of the relationship, then that should be okay too.
So you think it just feels a little bit overly invasive and maybe unnecessary?
I think that it can feel that way. I'm not saying that I would feel that way specifically out the gate, but I would understand anyone who does.
Are women right to feel like these reluctant men are hiding something?
I don't think that that's fair judgment to make in such a general sense. I think that, like you said, women trust their gut in the same way that men trust their gut. And if you're worried about something like that and you're feeling it, then chances are you have a reason to. But I don't think that in a general sense, your man not sharing his location is a reason to feel like he's, you know, cheating on you or doing something wrong.
Our last question is, have you heard of the sassy man apocalypse and how do you feel about it?
So I was just taught about the sassy man apocalypse about 10 seconds ago by some wonderful friends. And I have two answers for this question. The first one is serious. One, I think that men should feel comfortable with reacting and acting as themselves at all times. I think that history has shown that men are supposed to act a specific way. And the sassy man apocalypse allows us to be our more genuine, true selves. Then that's cool. Two, my friends call me like exhibit A of the sassy man apocalypse. And after watching a few videos on social media, I'm kind of proud of that moniker. So if y'all don't want me to talk back to you, then don't get out of pocket and talk out the side of your neck. That's just the way it is.
Okay, but I feel like men have complained for so long about sassy women, and now what, you're joining us?
If you can't beat them.
Join them?
If you can't beat them, you got to join them.
Okay, well then welcome.
Welcome again?
Welcome to the club of sass and the girls club, I guess. Thank you for joining us, Cody, and sharing your opinions.
And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That wraps up our show today. Next week, we will talk about the future of education, natural disasters, and Star Wars.
Today's episode of Fresno State Focus Radio Edition was produced by Professor Hanio Oya by the Department of Media, Communications, and Journalism. Our stories and interviews were produced and edited by Victoria Picasso.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition. I'm Laura Knott.
And I'm Carissa Guzman. See you next week.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.